Hey everyone, good to see you. Welcome to the Monday meditation, June 21st. There are two university holidays for the next two Mondays, so we won't be holding these sessions. We'll start again July 12th. If you're new to meditation, you're in a good place if you want to learn the basics, I feel. What we do in meditation is definitely possible to do, whatever may be happening for you right now, this morning, today. We do make a little effort. We use our ability to decide how to place our attention, but we don't try too hard to make anything happen. And this process of our mind settling, becoming calmer, more resilient, is not make-believe. It is something that can be cultivated, but we don't do it by sheer willpower or kind of a lot of effort. And indeed, part of the challenge of this type of activity is that we can be so accustomed to trying hard to make things happen moment by moment. And this works reasonably well for a lot of things that we have to do. But with meditation, a lot of it is just mustering the patience to stay with it, to be with our experience, for a while, without trying to make something happen where we're just noticing what is happening. And in theory, it sounds kind of easy, because the idea of not doing much sounds easy. In fact, it's not easy. So it's relatively simple. It's definitely something we can do, but it does take patience. And the reason for that is simply that as we allow ourselves to notice what's happening, we may well encounter emotions that are difficult that we would rather not feel. And so when and if we do, we simply include them in the meditation, meaning we recognize the anxiety or the sorrow or whatever it is, and we make space for it just by noticing what's happening, and especially kind of expanding our awareness of what's happening by tuning into the physical sensations that are a component typically of the emotions that we have. In the busyness of life, we may or may not be aware of our emotions, but either way, we tend to focus on the thoughts, on what we're anxious about, and so forth. And this isn't dumb at all. It's part of our intelligence, but it's also can expand our intelligence a little bit by giving ourselves this space to just not have so many responsibilities. So eyes can be open or closed as we begin. Most of us will find it easier with eyes closed, but either way is fine. You might take a few deeper breaths as we begin. Slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Letting your breath be normal. We'll come back to the breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. So this does not mean excluding everything else or anything else. Just in the midst of what's happening, direct your attention to the sounds that are noticeable. Doesn't matter what they are. And we don't try to hear everything. It's just turning our attention to this part of our experience. And this is something we definitely can do. If you're noticing any sounds, that's good enough. The reason we do this is this mental activity, focusing attention, sustaining attention with something relatively simple that is happening, our minds naturally calm down. So this is kind of this activity is not something, we're not trying to force ourselves to feel calm. We're also not trying to get something out of the sensations, which is the magic. It's much simpler than that. It's just taking some time, focusing the attention on something relatively simple. So you can stay with sounds if you wish. It's also good to practice with our bodies in a similar way. So tuning in to the actual feel of your body now. So shifting the focus from the sounds into your body. And what can you feel? What do you notice? Vibration, pressure, softness, motion, hands, feet, shoulders, head, arms, hands, torso. As we do this, it can be natural to notice the sensations in our bodies connected with the normal breath. So not breathing deeply or in any special way, just letting our breath take place. There tend to be some sensations in the abdomen, the chest, and or at the nose. So for most people, much of the time, the breath is pretty good for our purposes. Just knowing when the in-breath begins based on sensations, when the out-breath begins. Kind of abandoning some idea of doing this perfectly. So it's not a matter of how perfectly we do it. It's just doing it for a while, kind of mustering that patience, that willingness just to let it be this simple, but knowing that our attention will wander, will drift, there will be thoughts that pull at us. It's just our intelligence, this beautiful activity of mind that can remember and plan and worry and so forth. But still, we try just to, so we don't try to exclude that or squelch anything, but in the midst of whatever flurry of thoughts or whatever happens, just kind of having that intention to stay focused. When does this breath begin? Noticing sensations, maybe letting your attention rest somewhere in the abdomen or in the chest or at the nose. Picking up some sensations as the breath takes place. Feeling free to shift somewhere else if for some reason the breath doesn't feel quite right. The hands, the feet, back to sounds are available. And then for all of us, no matter how much experience we have, including me, it's like there'll be those moments when we realize our attention has drifted, we're planning the rest of the day, we're mulling over something that happened earlier, perfectly normal activity of intelligence. In mindfulness practice, when we realize our attention has been pulled away from the breath, just that inclusion, that recognition, thinking, planning, often emotion is noticeable. When we notice, oh yeah, anxiety, we can practice just tuning into our bodies, the sensations that are a component of the emotion, often to be felt in the torso, the chest. But no need to fix or change. This is where permission is more relevant than what we're supposed to do. Just during this period of time, we don't have responsibilities. We don't have to manage our emotions. We also don't have to hide them. So we can simply notice what it feels like. Not trying to micromanage or change, just noticing and then shifting back to the breath when we can, maybe the next in-breath when it begins. So we'll take 4 or 5 more minutes for the meditation. Still no need to rush. It can seem odd to spend time where we're not moving quickly, even in our minds, although of course thoughts may move quickly and maybe plenty happening. So we whatever our motivation and hopes, we don't need to reach into the future in a way. We try to make sure it's okay. Likewise, thoughts about the past will come, but we can practice not getting too entangled. We don't have to clear away these thoughts about the past or the future. We can practice just noticing something happening now, more or less now, this breath, these sensations. When we are drawn into thoughts, including the felt sense of the emotions that are probably nearby, what does it feel like in your body? So in this way, we cultivate a certain patience by being patient. Gives us some space to appreciate being calm during those moments when we are calm. So yeah, thank you. It's good to practice with you. It's an interesting activity. After almost 40 years of doing this seriously, I still find it interesting, you know, kind of finding the balance, the right amount of effort continues to be interesting, because it does take a little bit of effort to do this, to get into it. This activity of focusing attention, sustaining attention, is something we can do. It is available. It's almost so easy that it is hard, because we can do it and then quite naturally our attention moves on. Right? Okay, I observed a few breaths. That's an accomplishment. And it is an accomplishment, right? And then it's like sort of unreasonable to like, well, I observe 5 breaths. What are you're saying I just keep doing this? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, this is an activity that human beings have done in many, many, many different contexts and circumstances, and built cultures around the basics of mindfulness, that as it's coming into Western cultures, derived primarily from Theravada and Buddhism. And yet there are different forms of Buddhism and many other forms of religious activity or indigenous activities where people have done this. So it's a very odd activity, especially when we're used to having a to-do list that we take seriously and try to get it done. And, you know, kind of noticing my parents after they retired and suddenly their to-do lists were even longer, and they were more engaged by things. It was kind of interesting to see, you know, it's not a bad thing. I do not see a conflict or a contradiction between living a very active and engaged life and still giving ourselves this time where we have permission not to be engaged with all the to-do lists and so forth. And so that's where it can take effort, simply to give ourselves time to practice, right? We can. And I'm not even a big fan of putting it on the to-do list, although you might if you want. I mean, we want to be careful not to turn meditation into another chore, even though it does take effort. And the reason I say that is because in the midst of, you know, the time we spend today, or the time that you may spend on your own or with others in different contexts, my view is there is something to do. It does take effort. We can learn to be skillful with that effort, so we're making enough. We're trying hard enough, but we're not overdoing it. And then in that framework, there is a tremendous amount of permission just to be there without performing. And it seems we need that. And the science, of course, is supporting the value of this in different dimensions. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting activity. So my name is Marvin G. Belzer. It's the Mindful Awareness Research Center at UCLA. It turns out the summer, June and July, are pretty busy times for us. And so there won't be this Monday session for the next 2 Mondays. But in July, there will be 3 days of mindfulness and 1 weekend retreat. And so, yeah, thank you, Ronnie. As Ronnie's posting in the chat some of these things. My colleague, some of you certainly know her, Diana Winston, will be leading a day of mindfulness this Saturday, 10 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And I encourage you to dive in if you are inclined. It may seem like 6 hours is unreasonable. But the key is we don't have to do this. We don't have to figure out how to do the 6 hours all at once, which would be impossible, right? So it takes time, right? 10 to 4. And yet we are very experienced with this type of practice. There will be undergraduates at the retreat on Saturday who are starting to meditate tonight when my class, Psychiatry 175, begins. they're beginners. And we honestly, we've worked hard over many years to kind of construct these days of mindfulness so that they're suitable for beginners and for people with more experience. On July 10, Saturday, July 10, Gloria Kamler will do a playful, bring energize your practice with a lot of motion and movement. After she's done it many summers, and after several years ago, the students came back to class and said that Gloria had taught them how to twerk. And that happened to be news to Gloria, but in fact, that is exactly what she was doing as part of the movement. If you don't know what twerking is, come on July 10 and she will teach you, and it may be very useful to you. And then Matthew Brensilver will be a visiting professor in the second half of July, doing a day of mindfulness on the 24th, plus a Tuesday evening class that'll meet three sessions. I highly recommend that you check him out. State of the art teaching. He is one of the few people in the world who is fully qualified to be both a scientist and a Dharma teacher, meditation teacher. And I met him when he was a postdoc at UCLA about 8 years ago. And he has chosen a career teaching meditation, but he's well qualified to have had a scientific career. So we're really privileged to have him doing stuff for us this summer. And also, I am happy to be in touch with you. So let me put my email in the chat, in case you would like to contact me. Okay, thank you. Yeah, see you.